Why don't you turn to John 7. John 7. Okay. So I think for a lot of people, this has been one of the toughest years, isn't it? It's been a pretty tough year this year. The world's changed, isn't it? It's a totally different world than maybe it started out a year ago. A lot of things have happened. I think the pressures on life have been probably a lot more for people than have been. Even just the pressure of not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing whether we are going into a lockdown or whether we are going to have something to happen. I feel, this just could be me, but there seems to be a lot more doom and gloom around. Do you find that? Seems like there's a lot more doom and gloom around. I do think the mental effects of COVID have been quite huge, and I think we're still yet to see the effect of that. And I feel it even for Christians, for some it's put them into quite dark places because it's quite heavy going at times. And then, as a pastor, we were talking with some pastors about 4 weeks ago, a whole lot of pastors, quite a few of them from Auckland, and they said that they really felt there was a drop-off in Christian commitment. So a lot more people not attending church, a lot of people pulling out of serving and doing their stuff and just feeling tired. And it was quite fascinating. I think Auckland got a little bit harder than us because they went back into a second one. But they're saying when they're finding that people are just not as engaged. I think families are trying to find balance in life. And for some, it's at the expense of church. They go, oh, well, we've been used to just being able to not go, and suddenly their Sundays get filled. And I think a lot of times we fill things, if they're not there, we fill them with other things in our lives. People are struggling about their future, becoming disheartened. There's some that are struggling financially. Are they going to be able to buy a house? One of the things I feel there seems to be a wider difference in where people are at spiritually. So I think there are some Christians that through this have become quite dry, quite barren, quite discouraged, quite feeling hopeless and struggling to walk the walk of faith. But at the same time, I feel there's a whole lot of other people that have been recharged. It's like there's this bigger gap between those who've gone, man, it's like they felt the call to pray, and they're praying more than they've prayed before. They're focused spiritually. They're in fight mode. They go, hey, well, I just realized that we're fighting not against flesh and blood. This isn't a people problem in our nation. It's a spiritual problem. And so they've got all excited, and they've started getting into things. They're into advancing. They're more committed, more determined than ever to see the kingdom of God flow. It's like there's this gap. And here's my question. What's the difference? Why is it that some people in a time of storm go and spiritually become stronger and fight more while others fade away and drop off and become slack? What is the difference? And here's my conclusion. I'm convinced it's to do with how filled with the Holy Spirit people are. I'm convinced it's to do with how filled we are with the Holy Spirit. Look, in Pentecostal circles, we've talked a lot about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but I actually feel it's more about a flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. So it's about the Holy Spirit flowing through you. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to start with John 7 there, verse 37, okay? And let me start with this. On the last day, the climax of the festival. Okay, let's just tell you what the festival is. You've got to know what the festival is. So this was what they called the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a one of the feasts that they did where they all came and lived in tents to remind them about what had happened. When they left Egypt, they lived in tents. So it was about that. And it would go for 7 days. In the New Testament, it went for 8 days. They added an eighth day to it, okay? And what would happen is they would start at the temple, and all the priests would have these golden pitchers, jugs of that were empty, and they would leave the temple in a big parade once a day, and they'd go on this big parade, to the pool of Siloam. Okay, one of the pools in Jerusalem. And they would draw water out of the pool, and then they would walk all the way back joyfully to the temple, and the priest would pour the water out. And they would sing the words from Isaiah. Isaiah 12:3, it said, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." So they would do this seven times, and it was a big celebration. They were all excited and celebrating. But on the eighth day, they did two things differently. They walked down to the pool, but instead of getting water, they carried back the jugs empty with nothing in them. And it was a picture of those that got lost in the wilderness, that never made it to the promised land. It was a picture of those who had turned away from God, and they would do it in silence. And then they'd walk all the way back to the altar, and instead of pouring, well, they had no water in there, they would walk around the altar seven times to remind them of Jericho. And it was in the middle of this silence, in the middle of this thing where Jesus had been watching them do this ceremony. They'd been watching them, and I think he felt that they'd misunderstood. They're just going through the motions. A little bit like we can be when we come to church. Just going through the motions. We miss the significance of things. We can even miss the Holy Spirit when he's here because we're distracted by things. And so in the middle of this, Jesus shouts out, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said this, living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered his glory. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you sent your Son, and I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we want to hear from you. We don't want to just hear from our own minds. We want to hear from you, from your Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us, challenge us. Lord, we want to hear afresh from you. Come. I thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If you need healing right now, why don't you just put your hand in the air? If you've got something in your body where you need healing. Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, you see each of the hands represented. If you're sitting by someone who's got their hand up, why don't you just put your hand on their shoulder? Lord, right now, we pray for healing to flow. We sang about it. You are our healer. Jesus, our healer. Lord, I pray healing would flow right now into people's bodies. Lord, you know exactly what they need. You know exactly where it hurts. You know exactly, Lord, whether it's an organ, whether it's whatever it is, Lord Jesus, God, we just pray for healing to flow. Thank you. Thank you for your healing touch. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, over the years I've observed Christians that I feel are still thirsty. I feel that at times you see them, they're Christians that have got into the motion and now they're going, "I'm not really satisfied with Christianity." And they go off looking in all sorts of places. In a sense, their relationship with God is dry. It's got dry. It's just become a religious activity. It's just become something they do. And in a sense, they've lost the living water. You know, if we believe that Jesus is the life and the giver of living, or the Holy Spirit within is living water, and it is, in a sense, to satisfy us, but we're looking for things in other places, then really, it's not fulfilled what it was called there to do. And the question is why not? Why don't we feel it? Why don't we sense it? Why are we not satisfied? Why are we looking for things in other places? Which a lot of Christians do. They start looking, you know, "Oh, yeah, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Oh, I just start." And they lose track. Why? Because I feel that the Holy Spirit stopped flowing in their lives. The Holy Spirit is flowing. I read a story about a pastor, and he said, in his early days when he was very young pastoring, he was still sort of adjusting to the demands of being in pastoral ministry, and he found himself neglecting his time with God in his study. in order just to meet the needs of everybody that he needed to do. And one Sunday evening following the worship service, a dear lady, a person who loved and cared for her pastor, said to him, "Pastor, I can hear the dipper banging against the bottom of the bucket." And he went, "Oops. But I feel there's a lot of Christians. It's like that, you know, the dipper's dipping in to get something out of the bucket and there's just not much there. The dipper's banging on the bottom of the bucket. Get there, right? But I think that's the same for a lot of Christians. You can just see it. They're dry. They're not happy. They're not full of life. They're asking that question, is this really it? See, and my answer for you is that I think we've got to have more of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives, living water. Like water, I feel the Holy Spirit needs to be flowing the same way. And this morning, as I just talk about water in our world, I want you to think about the Holy Spirit like water. So think in the natural and the spiritual. There's a whole lot of pictures around the Holy Spirit. There's air, you know, the breath of life. But it also is about water. And lately, I've stopped drinking teas and coffees and just drinking water. Just pure water. I'm a lot healthier for it, I think. Do you know the whole world system flows on water? Everything. Every plant, every living animal needs water to flow through them to make it a living thing. Every animal, every person, the water flows. You got no water, you're in trouble. And in the Bible, the first mention, which is one of the things that you often do when you're talking about a subject, you go and find where it's first mentioned in the Bible. Do you know water's in the second verse of Genesis? It's right there. It starts right there. And let me just read you. Genesis 1, 2. "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." In Genesis 1, 6, God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." It's a fascinating thing. You know how sometimes you read the Bible and you're going, "Well, that's, what does that mean? Is that the clouds? Is that a spiritual separation of waters? Is that a spiritual thing?" And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. And God called the space sky, and evening past the morning came, making the second day. See, water is so essential to life. No water, no life. When they go searching out for these planets that they keep talking about and thinking that there might be life on them, what's the first thing they go looking for? Is there water? And we know everything runs on water. Aren't you glad you don't live in Auckland? They don't have much water. So think water, think Holy Spirit. Let me just, I did a little bit of a study about water. I'm not very scientific, so I took out all the scientific stuff because I didn't understand what they were talking about. So I've made this quite simple so we can all understand. It goes this: water is essential simply because it's a liquid at Earth-like temperatures. And because it flows, water provides an efficient way to transfer substances from a cell to the cell's environment. The water can carry things into and out of a cell. It has to do with its unique chemical configuration. The humble water molecule is made up of two hydrogen atoms bonded to an oxygen atom. The way they are bonded together makes water this wonderful universal solvent, meaning that almost every substance can dissolve in water. Water, with its amazing dissolving properties, is the perfect medium for transmitting substances such as phosphates and calcium ions into and out of the cell. Our lives need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as it flows through your lives, brings you the nutrients. It's like a solvent that it's like it absorbs all the energy, absorbs the word. You know, like it's no good reading your word, the Bible, unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings it to life. Otherwise, you're just reading a dry lot of words. It's about the Holy Spirit. Water is an essential nutrient and plays a key role in the human body. We can survive up to several weeks without food. I don't know about that. I don't know. No, that's not true. But only a few days without water. Every system in the body, from cells and tissues to vital organs, requires water to function. Did you know that water carries nutrients to all cells in our body and oxygen to our brain? Water allows the body to absorb and assimilate minerals, vitamins, amino acids, glucose, and other substances. Just on that whole thing, oxygen to the brain. What happens when you're going through the desert and you run out of water? You go nuts. You go crazy because you start hallucinating and seeing. Why is that? Because not enough oxygen going to your brain. Is that why there's some Christians that are a bit strange because they haven't got enough of the Holy Spirit going to their brain? I'll leave you to decide on that one. Water flushes out the toxins and the waste in our body. Water helps regulate the body temperature. Water helps lubricate for our joints and muscles. It's confirmed that when consuming the recommended amount of water, it contributes to the maintenance of normal physical functions, as well as the maintenance of normal cognitive functions. Moreover, water contributes to the maintaining the body's normal thermoregulation. Water makes up 60% of an adult's body weight, from 31% in bones to 83% in lungs. Now think of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, and sometimes we just stop the flow. We stop the Holy Spirit, or we're not drawing enough. Our dip is hitting the bottom of the bucket. Did you know that the human body cannot store water? Every day we are constantly losing water through breathing, sweating, through release of other stuff, and we won't go into that. Ensuring that the loss of fuel are replenished in a timely manner, that our bodies are correctly hydrated, is essential for good health and for the body to operate. Our lives need to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's all about flow. It's all about it flowing through you. It's about the flow. Is the Holy Spirit flowing through you? You see, you can't. In water, if it's always coming out and you never put anything in, you end up going dry and dying. So we've constantly, same in the spiritual. You become dry in your Christian walk when you're not drinking of the living water. In Ezekiel 47, there's a great vision that Ezekiel had, and just for time's sake, I won't read it, but you can read it in Ezekiel 47, 1 to 2, and right through up to verse 9. But it talks about Ezekiel seeing coming out of the temple of God the flow of water, a river that ran at the ankles, that ran at the knees, ran at the waist, and then over his head. And for me, it's all about flow in our lives. How much of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you? Is it flowing through you? Because it's got to come in and it's got to go out. And as it does, it then again affects everybody around you. You know, in the last part of Ezekiel 47:9, it talks about water flowing into the Dead Sea. How many people have been to the Dead Sea? I've been to the Dead Sea. It's dead. It's toxic, basically. Funny story. Are there any English people? I'm an English descent, so don't take this personally, okay? So we're doing our tour. Eleanor and I are doing our world tour, and part of our tour was we go to the Dead Sea. And we're there, and they give us instructions, okay? Look, it's very toxic. What you need to do is don't put the water on your face or anything like that. And you can float on it. You know how you can, it's really floaty. You can float it, but don't put the water on your face. The English tourist on our bus walks down to the water. Ah, I can't see! I can't see! And we all just laughed at him. Anyhow, the Dead Sea's toxic. It's toxic. But this is talking about a flow of water that would be coming out so much that it would turn the toxic water into fresh water. The Amazon River comes down, comes out of the underneath the mountains and the ice and through glaciers. The water comes down and is filled together to form such a huge river that the water goes out into the sea, and they say that the water is fresh for something like 60 or 70 k's out because of the flow of the river. That's the picture of you and me together as we have the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. It's not about just one, it's about all of us. When you come to church on a morning, the flow of the Holy Spirit is affected by everybody in the room. Everybody in the room. We all got a part today. When we worship, you know, I remember doing a message on no worship, no rain. And if you read about Baal, Baal was the god that stopped, who was supposed to give them rain. And so when Elijah said no more rain, he was saying, he was showing them that Baal is the wrong one to be worshipped. When God's not worshipped, there's no rain. But that's the same in our lives. The rain of the Spirit comes. You start thinking about, you're reading your Bible about water. There's wells you need to get. There's rivers of living water. There's the rain of the Spirit. It's all about that life cycle of the rain. Well, it's the same in our lives. We've got to have the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives all the time. Rain and coming in. So worship is one of those things where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's got to also go out. The Holy Spirit comes in and takes away our sin as we repent and clears it out. We all need to have the garbage in our lives coming out. If you didn't have the garbage in your life coming out, you'll die. It's important as it comes in as it goes out. They need to be constantly refreshing, constantly giving. If you're feeling dry, it's about the flow. It's about the flow. You know, Jesus said in John 7, 38, Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In John 4, 13, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, what did he say? You know, anyone who drinks the water, this water, which was the water out of the well, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. The Holy Spirit in your life flows. It gives you nutrients. It builds you up. It convicts us of sin, so we deal with the sin in our life, so that no longer controls our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us life. It's the same. It's a cycle. And that's why I wanted people to start thinking more about the flow. How much is there a flow in your life? You know, all your time speaking in tongues is about the flow. It's about the flow of the Holy Spirit through you. Reading your word is about the flow of the Holy Spirit in you. Coming together, praying with people, spending time in prayer. Let all these things help and build our flow in our lives. So what blocks it? Because I feel at times we block it with things. And I wrote down here, sin blocks the flow. You know, unless you confess a sin and flush out, it begins to stop the flow. You don't feel as good about yourself. You don't want to connect with God. And so suddenly your Christianity becomes dry. Disobedience stops the flow. When you're not in the right place at the right time where God wants you to be, then suddenly you're feeling, oh man, the flow. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. If you've been disobedient to what God's calling you to, unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. It starts, you know, and this was the thing that got me about water absorbing and dissolving things. The Holy Spirit dissolves things, but sometimes our water gets tainted and becomes bitter. Our lives become bitter. When people come and drink from us, they don't get refreshing, they get, I don't know, horrible. The horrible version. The nasty version of you. When we become judgmental and cynical, it affects the well. You know, that picture of guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What does that mean? That means that you've got to guard it. You've got to watch what gets into the water in your system, what gets into your life. I remember having this vivid picture of wells. And do you know what they used to do to pollute wells? They would throw dead animals into the wells so that suddenly the water's now poison and no one could drink of it. And in the Middle East, that, you know, water was an essential item. You needed to have that water, that freshness of life. You know, some of us, we've let things get into our lives. We haven't guarded our heart, and it's affecting the people around us. When you stop believing and start doubting, when you stop living for Him and you start living for yourself, it stops the flow. When we stop the basics, when we stop meeting together. You know, Mark Kelsey, I was listening to him in C3 Bible College online, and he talked about breathing. You can't just breathe inwards. You have to breathe outwards as well. Have you ever tried it? You got to let it out at some stage. It's about flow. You need a flow. Was that funny? We should all try it. If you're going to laugh at me, okay, everybody hold their breath, breathe in, and in. And out. You know, you need God flowing through your life. You need a flow. Are you dry? Are you weary? Are you struggling with something? Then come to the living water. Go to God for it. Go to the Holy Spirit. Increase the Holy Spirit in your life. Look, His presence is here. That's why I can never understand why people are not in church, because I'm going, man, I just stood there at the start, and like Ashley, when I got here, you could just feel the presence of God start to build in this place. And I need that. I'm not a very nice person without Jesus. I aren't. None of us are. That's true. Why don't you just sit there for a moment? Drink in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just flow. While everyone's got their eyes closed, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him. You know, He is the answer to life. He is the living water.